Good afternoon, everyone. This is David McManus. It is February 5th. It's a Tuesday. It's 1:57 p.m. Coming to you with a news and focus commentary from Berean Baptist Church here in Fayetteville, North Carolina. And I came across this article this morning. The reason I came across it is because a friend of mine, not a friend in the sense of we hang out and we talk all the time, but somebody I went to high school with, somebody I have conversations with sometimes online on Facebook and that sort of thing. We don't live in the same town or anything like that. Very intelligent guy, really accomplished guy, but an atheist. And so we have the opportunity to talk about our differing viewpoints sometimes over the computer here and there. And he posted a article this morning from the BBC News magazine. BBC.co.uk, and the title of the article, it was published yesterday, 10:58 Eastern Time. What happens at an atheist church? What happens at an atheist church? By Brian Wheeler. Okay, so this is from England, but it's what happens at an atheist church. Now you don't see those two words in the same sentence too often. Atheist church, especially one describing the other. And so you've got the picture here on the front page of a church building. I mean, the building they are in was obviously a church, or it was used for religious things. Very antiquated, but an old kind of cathedral picture of a church here. And there's a man up here giving a science lecture in front of the church. He's got some crazy science math equation up on the board that I can't possibly understand, being the mind that I have. But he has given a science lecture. So here's what the article says. It says, an atheist church in North London is proving a big hit with non-believers. Does it feel a bit like a new religion? And that's what we're going to talk about. Not many sermons include the message that we are all going to die and there is no afterlife. But the Sunday assembly is no ordinary church service. Launched last month as a gathering for non-believers, it is, in the words of Master of Ceremonies, not Pastor, but Master of Ceremonies, Sanderson Jones, part foot-stomping show, part atheist church, all celebration of life. A congregation of more than 300 crowded into the shell of a deconsecrated church to join the celebration on Sunday morning. Instead of hymns, the non-faithful get to their feet to sing along to Stevie Wonder and Queen songs. There's a reading from Alice in Wonderland and a PowerPoint presentation from particle physicist Dr. Harry Cliff, who explains the origins of antimatter theory. It feels like a stand-up comedy show. Jones and co-founder Pippa Evans trade banter and whip the crowd up like the veterans of the stand-up circuit that they are. There's some irony here in the comedy aspect of it. But there are more serious moments. The theme of the morning is wonder. W-O-N-D-E-R, wonder. A reaction, explains Jones, to criticism that atheists lack a sense of it. So we bow our heads for 2 minutes of contemplation about the miracle of life. Sounds a little bit like prayer, but we'll come back to that. And in his closing sermon, notice that, in his closing sermon, Jones speaks about how the death of his mother influenced his own spiritual journey and determination to get the most out of every second, aware that life is all too brief and nothing comes after it. The audience, overwhelmingly young, white, and middle class, appear excited to be part of something new and speak of the void they felt on a Sunday morning when they decided to abandon their Christian faith. Do you see some of the truth that's coming out here? The void of the Sunday morning when they decided to abandon their faith. Few actively identify themselves as atheists. It's a nice excuse to get together and have a bit of a community spirit, but without the religion aspect, says Jess Bonham, a photographer. It's not a church. It's a congregation of unreligious people. Another attendee, Gintar Carolite, says, I think people need that sense of connectedness because everyone is so singular right now, and to be part of something and to feel like you are part of something, that's what people are craving in the world. Man, do you not see what's coming out here? There is so much truth in what these people are saying, and they don't even realize it. The number of people declaring themselves to be of no religion in England and Wales has increased by more than 6 million since 2001 to 14.1 million, according to the latest census. That makes England and Wales two of the most unreligious nations in the Western world. Figures such as writer Richard Dawkins and comedian Ricky Gervais have made it fashionable to be more assertive about having a lack of religious faith and to think about what it means to be an atheist. And writer Alan DeBotton has unveiled a manifesto for atheists, listing 10 virtues, or as the press has already dubbed them, commandments for the faithless. So we've got a atheist manifesto. You can go out there and find a communist manifesto. You can find a humanist manifesto. Everybody seems to want to have a list of a code of moral behavior. He argues, DeBotton says he wants to promote overlooked virtues such as resilience and humor. He came up with the idea in response to a growing sense that being virtuous had become a strange and depressing notion, which seems to chime with the Sunday Assembly's own mantra, live better, help often, wonder more. He argues for a new breed of secular therapists to take the place of the priesthood and believes atheism should have its own churches, but adds it should never be called that because atheism isn't an ideology around which anyone could gather. Far better to call it something like cultural humanism. We just changed the terminology and we'll be okay. There's a concern about among some non-believers that atheism is developing into a religion in its own right, with its own code of ethics and self-appointed high priests. Jones insists that he's not trying to found a new religion, but some members of his congregation disagree. It will become an organized religion. It's inevitable. A belief system will set in. There will be a structure and ethical outlook on life, says architect Robbie Harris. He believes Evans and Jones have a great responsibility if the Sunday Assembly continues to be as successful as it is now. There's a difficulty that it might become cultish, and it might become about one person. You could set yourself up as a charismatic preacher. That's the danger. Fellow congregation member Sarah Aspinall says, I think Sanderson should step back and see himself as a mediator and an enabler, which I think he is obviously good at, and just bring people up to speak or read. Jones says it is in its very early days, and future assemblies will be less about him and more the experiences of congregation members. He bridles at the suggestion he is starting a cult. I don't think I'm a charismatic preacher. I just get very excited about things and want to share that with people. He says he's been overwhelmed by the public reaction to the Sunday Assembly and is exploring the possibility of setting up similar gatherings around the country. I wanted to do this because I thought it would be a wonderful thing, he explains. The Sunday Assembly certainly did better business than at the Evangelical St. Jude and St. Paul's Church next door, where about 30 believers gathered to sing gospel songs and listen to Bible readings. But Bishop Harrison, a Christian preacher for 30 years, says he does not see his new neighbors as a threat, confidently predicting that their spiritual journey will eventually lead them to God. They have got to start from somewhere, he says. All right, so what are we supposed to do with this? An atheist church. Let's look at a few of the things we've got going on here. A congregation of more than 300. So we've got a congregation, and they use that term, that it is a congregation. And yet if we trace that word back, sometimes it would be translated as church, sometimes it would be translated as congregation, in the New Testament, with the word ecclesia, the Greek word ecclesia, meaning assembly or congregation, or later which came to be known as an ecclesia of God, a congregation, a gathering of the church. Instead of hymns, the faithful get to their feet to sing songs by secular artists like Stevie Wonder and Queen. And yet, where are they getting this idea of singing, almost praiseworthy songs? Now, obviously, they're not praising our Creator, but they are praising humanism. They're praising man in these songs. There's a reading, much like a scripture reading. We have a man that comes up and gives a presentation with PowerPoint slides. This just seems very much, they bow their heads 2 minutes in contemplation about the miracle of life. And notice that, the miracle of life. They use the terminology, the miracle of life. Now, they ascribe that miracle to some sort of big bang or something out of nothing kind of idea. But the idea of using the term miracle of life, the idea of this Sanderson Jones giving a sermon and talking about a spiritual journey, there is so much here that I think is speaking to us about our innate, built-in programming that God gave us, that we are built to worship. We are built to worship our Creator. And oftentimes we get that wrong and we direct that worship to other people. But even in this atheist gathering, you see that programming that God gave us. The one attendee that said, I think people need that sense of connectedness because everything's so singular right now. They want to be part of something. Of course they want to be part of something. We are relational people. God made us that way. We want to be with brothers and sisters that have a common ground. And nothing is like the body of Christ when it comes to that. And these people are trying to create something that's much like that. And yet they're so ungodly and they're so atheistic in their thinking here in England and Wales that they couldn't possibly explore the idea of a creator God that gave them all this stuff. They'd rather try to come up with their own ideas about what's going on. And we even have what happens sometimes in these so-called churches, the charismatic leader that gains a following, that gains a standing, and he starts to take advantage of that, and he gets accused of leading sheep, of leading a cult. And yet these atheists would say, oh, we're not sheep. We don't want to do that. We don't want anything. We don't like the idea of having a shepherd. And yet what are they doing? They're submitting to this atheist shepherd who gives his sermons each week, and people fall at his feet to listen to his words. They want a leader. They want somebody to tell them about this spiritual meaning that they can't find an answer to. And they found one in this Sanderson Jones. And yet, it is so ironic that that is exactly what God wants us to do as we fall at his feet and listen to his words and get revelation from his word about his son, about the plan of redemption, about the narrative of salvation that he sets up throughout his scripture. And so there's a couple things that go through my mind here when I read this. Number one is I see the irony, and it's almost laughable irony, when I see what these people want, what their goal is in attending this church, which they probably don't like calling it that, but they're attending this church because they're looking for the things of God in a place where there are no things of God. They're looking to fill things that only God can fill with things that God doesn't travel in. And that's what we've got going on. And it just takes me to Romans 1, and you guys are familiar with this verse. Romans 1, we'll read several verses here, starting in chapter 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. We see that in this gathering. That which be known of God is manifest in them. They're acknowledging the miracle of life. They're acknowledging the need to worship something. They're acknowledging the need to have a relational aspect. They're acknowledging the need of a moral code, all the things that God gave them. For God has showed it unto them. Verse 20, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. They've created this pursuit themselves. 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Perhaps talking about antimatter theory and physics in a gathering on a Sunday morning, rather than acknowledging a creator God who put it all into motion. And changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like that of corruptible, made like to corruptible man, into birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. And of course, we'd see that in this area. Do whatever makes you feel good. And verse 25, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshiped and served the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Is that not what we're seeing in this story? Worshiping the creature instead of the creator. Lifting up man's mind above God's mind. Lifting up man's defined roles above God's defined roles. Lifting up our own inventions over God's perfect word. And so it makes me a little bit sad when you see this, these 300 people gathering on a Sunday morning, yearning for meaning and for truth, and finding nothing where they go. This is the sad state of our world today, and we need to be praying for these people. And I know you interact with them, you work with them, you have friends, you have family members. They may not attend an atheist church, but they're in this worldview. They've fallen into this idea, this ideology that they're seeking for truth in all the wrong places. Pray for them, interact with them, engage this culture. Let's be Christians that will change what's going on out there, and not just sit back and be satisfied with people all around us walking into hell each day as they walk off this planet. If you have any comments, please post them directly to this recording, or you can email me, dmcmanus, dmcmanus.bbc@gmail.com. Thanks.